SIM, I don't know if you're familiar with SIM, but an interdenominational evangelical mission. And we have been in Mozambique since 2009. Unfortunately, our kids weren't able to make the trip today, but these are our four kids. And just out of review for you guys, in case you don't remember, Mozambique is in southeastern Africa, and it is located just across from Madagascar. So a lot of times you think of Madagascar and Mozambique is just on the coast. And our team at SIM, we serve in the north part of the country. We really, our mission and our strategy, our vision is to serve the least reached people groups in the northern part of Mozambique. And so we live in a town in northwestern Mozambique called Lashinga. And just kind of to give you, because most of you probably don't remember, but Mozambique has about 28 million people. And we work with a people group called, mostly, not exclusively, but mostly with a people group called the Yao. And they are a folk Muslim people group. And largely, 98% unreached. And so we work with them. Mozambique is a vastly underdeveloped country. In fact, the UN classifies, they have a what they call a human development index that they do every year, kind of judging life expectancy, job opportunities, and kind of measuring a whole different slew of things, healthcare. And Mozambique ranks 181 out of 188 countries. And we are tied with South Sudan, if that gives you any other idea. South Sudan tends to be more in the news than Mozambique. So because of war until 1992, the infrastructure in Mozambique is vastly underdeveloped. So education, healthcare, roads, all those types of systems, corruption is rampant in Mozambique. And so that is where we serve. We serve, again, in the north, which is a more rural area. And we work with the Yao people. And just kind of give you an idea of some of the look of the country and the people. As I said, we work with the Yao, which are also an agricultural people. So where we are is there's a lot of farming going on. So a lot of corn and maize and beans that they harvest and grow. And that's typically what people do to make a living and to sustain themselves as a family. We have been there for 8 years, and it used to be a Portuguese colony, and so we do almost all of our ministry in Portuguese, and we partner with churches mostly for the last 8 years. We have been partnering with churches to bring, to guide the peoples there. Let me just flip here. Partnering with churches to disciple, to do biblical training, and to just bring God's story of creation, fall, redemption to the people. So we have, through the last 8 years, there is a series of churches both in the city of Lashinga and outside of the city of Lashinga that we have really just built relationships with. We have found that to partner with churches has been one of the biggest blessings in our ministry because as these churches grow, most all of these churches, because as I said, 99% of the Yao are unreached. So as little pockets and groups of believers start to pop up, these people are often ostracized from their families, kicked out of their families, persecuted. We heard other stories of how persecution this morning, often of the believers and Christians, of Christ followers. And so that often happens in our area where families will are angry that their family members are now committing to follow Christ, and so they ostracize them, they kick them out. And for a Yao believer, ostracism, to not have a tribe or a family or a community, is worse than death itself. Most Yao would rather die and be in that situation than to be ostracized from their family. And so what we have done is we've tried to not only disciple them and give them good biblical training as they're starting out and with no biblical background at all, and really just to partner these churches together and network these churches so they can encourage each other and so that they can build lasting relationships together, that they can get through this ostracism together, so they can actually have a community to be a part of. In fact, I always tell this story because when we first got there, one of the first things that, as we presented the gospel, the first question that you would get from a Yao was, "Well, who will bury me?" And after sharing the gospel and ask, who will bury me if I decide to follow Christ, it's kind of just, what does that have to do with what I just explained about Christ and his sacrifice on the cross? Who will bury me? That question didn't really, we didn't understand it. Well, we went to the next group, and they asked the same question. So it was one of those things where, I don't think it's them not understanding. I think it's us not understanding where they're coming from. So, but really that question is just a question of community. So what they're in essence asking is, what community will I be a part of? And so we started to be able to answer that question and across that barrier by just saying, yes, we as believers, this group of believers and Christ followers, we will bury you. If you decide to follow Christ, you are now part of this family, and we will take care of you. And so this is one of the main aspects as we partner churches together to bring them to a fuller knowledge of Christ and to work together as a community of believers. One of the things also that we have worked on is we developed a spiritual life conference for the Yao. And so that was, as we partnered with the churches, 3 or 4 years ago, we had the first spiritual life conference for them. And so we invited every believer that we knew and had about 200 Yao believers. And I'll share more about that because the message was about the harvest this morning and how it works. And we believe we are in really a harvest time among the Yao. And so we're excited, but I'll share a little bit more about that as we go on. Another aspect that we've really worked on is, especially over the last year and a half, is village discipleship. As new believers, again, pop up, there are no opportunities for them to be discipled. So we have been traveling out to different villages and offering discipleship and training for several of the people groups. This actual group is about an hour out of town for us, and I go there once a week, and we do discipleship training. What they're doing right now is learning, because again, they know nothing about the Bible, so we try to give them an overview of what the actual Bible is. And so you can see here, they're learning. We have 25 images that go through the story of the Bible, and we train them in that. So that at the end of the training, They have about basically a 45-minute to an hour presentation or story that they can tell that tells the entire story of creation, of the fall, of redemption, and of Christ. And so that's what they're learning here, which has also been very effective because most people, especially out in the village, there's a large percentage that does not read and does not prefer to read as well. So this is very effective, especially for the women as they go out and share at the well, which they commonly do. They are now able to tell the story of the Bible and to tell about what Christ has done for them. We are working with them also in training in a Bible storying. I don't know if you're familiar with Bible storying and any of the different methods, but we use a method called Simply the Story, which is basically an inductive Bible study, but it's all done orally. And so we are also training these guys how to tell stories and do a Bible study, but it's all done orally, so they don't have to. Well, they can read, but the biblical story if they need to, but they don't have to, and which also is again effective for a large amount of the percentage of the people that cannot read and that do not read. So we have been working in that area for the last year and a half. It's just been a great blessing. In fact, in this village, the guys that we're working with have been doing a lot of evangelism to the next village over. And one of the fun things that we've been able to do is just create a relationship with these two villages. They're actually two different people groups, two different tribes, but they're reaching out to each other, which is very rare. A lot of times Christianity stays within a certain tribe or a church denomination stays within a certain tribe, but these guys are reaching out to other tribes. And so it's just been great to see God working and great to see really the heart of God in these individuals to reach other tribal groups. And so what they've done is gone to the other tribes and to this other village, and they've brought them in. This is Easter Sunday. We had a large preaching time and teaching time, and at the end, we were able to form small groups that they will then get together every week or twice a week just to hear God's word. So what they have in their hands are actually audio Bibles, which are solar panel-driven audio devices, and they now have the Yao Bible in the full audio Bible and on these devices. And so each group had about 3 to 4, and we had over 50 people join these small groups. So we're just excited in the interest that these guys had to hear the gospel. They walked for 3 or 4 kilometers just to come in for Easter Sunday. Just to hear, and these are just group leaders. So the group was huge. It was a huge amount of people that came for this. So we're excited to see how God is moving through just the village discipleship. This is actually the actual Yao Bible printed, which just came out and was just printed 2 years ago. So we're really excited about that and to be able to use it. It was done in Malawi, and there are several groups now that are trying to do one for Mozambique because there are slight differences in the language, so they're trying to do a version that actually fits more for Mozambique. But for now, anyway, this is what we have, and so it's been a huge blessing to be able to just, especially for a Muslim people group, the Old Testament really fits. And so to have the Old Testament, to be able to teach and to share the stories of Abraham and Moses, which they've heard the names, but they haven't ever experienced or know the stories. And so to teach them for the first time who actually Abraham was and who Moses was has just been a blessing. Another aspect of ministry that we've been involved with quite a bit is biblical marriage and family counseling. We have done this in two different ways. One, we've taken individuals and just discipled them on a couple-to-couple basis, which has been really exciting but really difficult, especially among the Yao, where most of these believers are, all of them are first-generation believers. It's very difficult because they have never had a biblical marriage modeled to them, really any marriage, and marriages are in crisis among the Yao. The Yao in particular, for instance, believe that fertility is more important than fidelity. I may have shared this before with you guys, just as we've talked before about this culture group, but what that means basically is if I marry a woman and she does not get pregnant, then almost immediately, well, first you might visit the witch doctor or some type of traditional doctor, and if that doesn't work, some type of a ceremony done to get pregnant, then divorce would happen automatically almost. So needless to say, marriages are in huge crisis, and so we've been able to just take these new believers, and these are leaders within the church, just to give them a starting point of trust and communication and love. It's been really exciting. This is Julio and Eugenia, and you can imagine she is a city girl and he is a Yao from the village. And so you can just imagine just in that in and of itself the kind of cultural differences that they're going to have in their marriage. But then also he's Yao and she's not Yao, so they have lots of interesting dynamics within their marriage. And so it's been fun to walk through the last 2 to 3 years with them in that discipleship process. This couple here, I had the privilege of actually doing our first premarital counseling with. So we're excited to see how this goes. They actually were married in June when we left. So we didn't actually get a chance to go to the wedding, but we were able to do some premarital counseling with them just to open their eyes to show them kind of what God wants out of them in their marriage. And so we're really excited to see what God has in plan for them, has in store for them. They are, doing agricultural training, but is also a faithful Yao leader in the church. Just before we left as well, we invited three different area churches, Yao churches, to come and to do a 4-week biblical training on marriage. And we had about 50 adults, and I don't know how many kids were there as well. So probably well over 100 people attended. So we were really excited, and at the end of the 4 weeks, we had 8 couples who committed their marriage to God. In that culture, not one of those couples had had any type of a ceremony for their marriage, which sounds like maybe not a terribly insignificant thing. You know, they always agree with the family and discuss it with the family, and then all of a sudden they're married, which as long as they've been through some type of an agreement, maybe that sounds okay, but an actual ceremony is so important. One, they're able to commit themselves to God and to share an expression of love and commitment to one another in the presence of God. And so we were just excited how these couples just made that commitment. It's very strange for them, and to even just think of what a relationship is, and to communicate with your spouse. And so it's just fun to see them on this journey in beginning it, and to see this new excitement about how their marriage can improve and how God can rule their marriage, and how they're being discipled has just been really exciting. And we've done this for all 8 years since we've been there, and so we've done this kind of all over in all the different villages as God has allowed. Michelle also has been involved quite a bit in homeschooling. Obviously, she takes the four kids, and there aren't any proper schools for the kids to attend, so she does homeschooling for the fours, which takes a large portion of her day-to-day ministry. But she's also so involved with us doing kind of serving the missionary community as well as our team as a whole in Mozambique. She does a lot of our conferences and events and plans the logistics for all of those, which is very difficult because there's no facilities or food when we all get together, or anytime we do conferences, even for the marriage conference. A lot of times she kind of has to take over some of the logistical support and figuring all that out. She also does a homeschool conference every 2 years for the homeschool moms. So quite a few of the missionary, all the missionaries are homeschooling their kids. And so she plans a whole conference for them. And we have a group come in that actually gives encouragement and teaching for the moms, but also does testing, which is a huge thing for the moms to see where their kids are at. And then counseling and discipleship. She is involved in all the counseling and discipleship that we do for the marriage counseling. And then she's also has a huge role in developing our strategic prayer for the Yao, which we've always gotten together to pray before, but we've realized over the last few years that we can do better and be more strategic and spend more time as a community praying for the Yao. And man, God has used that. And in fact, that's really what I wanted to talk about now, this morning, is just about the story of God's work in Lashinga. And really it should be in Niassa province, in the province that we live in, because his work extends beyond the city that we are living in. 20 years ago, missionaries started to come and work with the Yao people. But it has been a very frustrating and a very slow process. As you can imagine, an unreached people group, and they're 99% Muslim. And so there's, in the villages, either outright opposition to the message, and you never had a door that was open, or an open door, but thanks, but no thanks. We hear your message, but again, that community aspect is so big that the fear of following Christ was so strong. And so the fruit that was seen over those last 20 years or so was very little. And even some missionaries became so frustrated that they left. So the work was just real slow. However, over the last 3 to 4 years, we have seen a harvest. And it has been such a privilege to see God using those seeds that have been planted over those last 20 years, now starting to germinate and grow. And I tell you what, the power of one or two people of Yahs that came to faith back in the beginning and have persevered in their faith over those 15 years of their own journey are so powerful. We heard even about this man that became saved in Indonesia and the power of him. But it is truly powerful when you see one of your own people who is faithful and has persevered and has been ostracized from their family, but persevered with God and followed Christ throughout. And so we are amazed when that happens because there are three or four, five or six believers now that have been trained and are been discipled and now are making a huge impact for Christ. So now, I would say we are just in a harvest time. This, in the last two or three months, before we left,